And we're going to turn in our Bibles, some of you will have guessed, to Philippians and chapter 2. In the last few months, we've been just tracing our way very slowly, very gently through Philippians. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to this small community, to the folk in Philippi who had given their life to Jesus and were seeking to follow Jesus. And he writes words of encouragement to them and words of challenge also to them. I'm going to be reading from Philippians and chapter 2. I'll read from verse 1 down to verse 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, in what we've just read, the Apostle Paul is writing about Jesus. And in a sense, he tells a story about Jesus. The chances are that those verses that we read from verse 5 or verse 6 to the end of that passage, the chances are they were a hymn, a song that the early Christians, the first Christians, they would have sung. They would have sung it to acclaim who Jesus was. They would have sung it to one another, to remind each other about something fundamental about Jesus. Here was Jesus, who was rightly, he was God. But he chose not to, as the passage says, not to grasp or hold of that which was his and say, this is mine, I demand all the rights that go with this. But knowing who he was, we're told he humbled himself and became a human being just like you and I. And then humbled himself even to the point of being obedient to his Father's plan to die on a cross. Now, it's not always easy to understand that and to take that in. How is it that God could become man? That God could become man and die on a cross? But this is part of the extraordinary story that the Bible tells and encourages us to understand, that this is part of God's big story. This is part of God's big plan. And we can look back to that and say, this is what has happened. Jesus, God, became man, died on a cross. But then the Apostle Paul also wants us to look forwards, understanding that God has already exalted, he's already raised up Jesus and given him the highest place. And he said to him, son, there is no one who is more worthy than you. There is no one who's going to have a higher place than you. You are exalted to the highest place. And looking to the future, one day, every knee will bow to you. One day, your name will be spoken by not just all people, but all of creation will speak your name and say, this is the name that is higher than any other name. And that's what the Apostle Paul shares and reminds the believers in this small church about. He reminds them about Jesus. And what we are seeking to do together is very simply, we're trying to follow Jesus. We're trying to follow the one of whom the Apostle Paul speaks here. And over the last few weeks, we've been tracing our way through Philippians, this letter, under this title, Living Deep with God. Is it possible for us to live a spiritual life, a life with God that is not superficial, but is real, it's deep, it's meaningful, it makes sense to us? And today, particularly, I'm using that heading up there, trusting God. If we are to live deep with God, one of the things we must understand is how we trust God. We must understand that if you were going to live a deep, meaningful, purposeful, relevant, spiritual life, then we must come to that point of trusting God with our lives, with our past and our present and our future. So, 3 points. I'm going to put them up now so you know where I'm going. Start with understanding. If we're to live a deep life with God, we need understanding. We need to answer the question, who I am. That's not too scary, I hope. You know, it might put us all off just to start. Who I am. Who am I? Understanding. That's the first thing. If we're to make this journey to trust God. The second thing is about following the way of Jesus. And the third that we'll come to is that of trusting God. And I'm going to refer us back to this passage that I've read because it has clues there for us about what Jesus did and the way he lived and how he came to that point of trusting God. But beginning with this, understanding who I am. Well, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And this word attitude, what it means, it's about a wise understanding of who I am. Your attitude, your understanding of who you are should be the same as that Christ Jesus had. It should be in the same way as the understanding that Christ Jesus had of himself. I'll explain. A wise understanding of who I am, your attitude. This is about who God has created me to be. It's about who God has created me to be. Now, it is not necessarily the person others want me to be. Do you connect with that? Not necessarily the person others want you to be. It might be. It might be that others, wise people, they have an understanding of who you truly are. And you keep avoiding it. But on the whole, it may be that it's not necessarily the person others want you to be. And it's not necessarily the person others have tried to make me. Sometimes people think we should be like them. Sometimes people act towards us in a particular way to try and knock the rough edges off us. To try and get us to fit what they think. And when the Apostle Paul says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, he is speaking about a wise understanding of who I am, who God created me to be. Not necessarily what others want me to be or what others have tried to make me, but a deep sense of this is who I am. Now, this is not intended to be an excuse. To say, well, this is who I am. You know, like a little lumpet. This is who I am. Warts and all. Love me or hate me. I don't care. And we can say that. And we can say, well, this is who I am. You know, this is who God created me to be. You know, obnoxious, cynical, all the rest of it. I'm just speaking generally, you understand. Not necessarily about me, but it's probably true. It's not meant to be an excuse. But it's about a deep sense within our souls of who I am. And it might be today. It might be today already you connect with this because you're saying, do you know, I made decisions years ago about career, education, relationships, finances. Those decisions, a long time, when I was immature, when I was stupid, when I didn't know what I was doing, I made decisions way back then, and they have formed the person that I am, and I know somehow this is not the person God wants me to be. And the Apostle Paul, even in saying this, your attitude, your understanding of who you are, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Even as he says it, he's saying it because you can be the person God created you to be. You can be the person God created you to be. Even though stuff has happened to you that's formed you in a different way. Even though you've done things that has formed you in a different way. Even though others have formed you. You can be the person God has created you to be. And here, we do need to turn to Jesus. Of course, that's always a good thing to do. But we need to turn to Jesus and say, well, how about Jesus? Who did Jesus understand himself to be? In this verse, just continued it into verse 6. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, understanding himself as being the same as God, not in a superficial way, but in a very deep, profound, fundamental way, understanding, this is who I am. I am in my nature. I am God. And this goes very deep. And the Apostle Paul says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You should have an understanding of yourself that goes as deep as the understanding that Jesus had of himself. He could say at a profound, deep level in his soul, I know who I am. I know who I am. And he could say of himself that he was the Son of God. He could say of himself that he was loved by his Father. He knew he was secure because he knew who he was. He knew he was safe. He knew he was treasured by God. He knew he was blessed. He knew that whatever happened to him, he knew, this is who I am. Nobody can take this away from me. I remember the occasion, it's the occasion in the life of Jesus when we're told that the crowds get mad at Jesus. Now that happens from time to time with Jesus. The crowds get mad at him and they come to take him and throw him off a cliff. Do you remember? The scripture just says, and Jesus walked through them and went off. There was something so secure about Jesus. He wasn't fussed about them. But he knew who he was and he knew, this is not what God has for me right now. And he's able to stand tall and walk on. After the Garden of Gethsemane experience, when the guards come for Jesus to arrest him, they're there with their torches to light the sky, and their batons and their swords. A And they're there probably shouting, making a lot of noise. And Jesus comes forward and stands up. Who is it you're seeking? And we're told those who'd come fell backwards. There was something so deep, so profound about Jesus' understanding of himself. And Paul says, your attitude should be the same. Not that you're God. But your attitude should be that same deep, wise understanding of who you are. Of what God has made you to be. Understanding stuff has happened to you. You've done stuff. Decisions have been made that you can't undo. But even so, Paul says, you can do it. You can have this understanding. You can be free of all the garbage that's happened to you. You can be free and you can stand secure and say, this is who I am before God. And I want to begin to live out that understanding. I want my life to be transformed. And the Apostle Paul, of course, as we know, when he writes to the church at Rome, he says, be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, renewing of your understanding of who you are. Be transformed. And so this is what the Apostle Paul says. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Understanding. If we're going to make that journey that so that we can live deep with God, we have to trust God or come to that place of trusting. But it begins with understanding who I am. It's probably a life's journey, isn't it? I don't think any of us have got there just yet. You know, looking around, some of you almost there, but not quite. Understanding who I am. If we're to be secure, we need to be secure, because then we don't get distracted from what God has got for us. We're not tempted, or we don't fall to temptation and stuff. Understanding who you are, having the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Because what we do stems from who we understand ourselves to be. What you do. What we do stems from who we understand ourselves to be. If you don't take yourself seriously, that will be reflected in the way you live. If you hate yourself, that will be reflected in the way you live. You know, these inner understanding will work its way out, no matter how much we try to hide it. Well, understanding who I am, that's the first thing. The second is following the way of Jesus. Following the way of Jesus. I'm going to read now, and if you have your Bible open, let's just read that this hymn again from verse 6. Who, speaking of Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Following the way of Jesus, what was the way of Jesus? That he might live deep with God, that he might live trusting God. And the first is simply service. Service. Philippians 2:7, we are told. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Taking the very nature of a servant. Service is the highest calling. There were two of the disciples, James and John, very vociferous. They were fighting together. They were saying, you know, we're the best. Best of this bunch. We deserve the best places. Jesus, when you come in your glorious kingdom, and you're in thrones, and everybody's speaking the name of Jesus, Jesus, can we sit right next to you? One on your right, one on your left, and we'll be right there. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must learn to be the servant of everyone. Jesus, having loved his disciples, showed them the full extent of his love. The King of all creation, the one that all creation will cry out his name. He took off his outer clothing, put a towel around himself, and knelt down one by one around all of the disciples around this room. And one by one, he washed their smelly, dirty feet. This is what I've done for you. Now you must do it for one another. There is no greater calling than that of service. Now you say, but hang on. You know, to get ahead in this world, is service the way to get ahead? Surely not. Surely the way to get ahead is to be the biggest and the strongest and the fittest. To be the bravest, to be the most noticed. Surely that's the way to make our mark. Jesus once told a story, and he said, do you know there'll come a time when God will gather all of creation before him. And he'll divide all the people in two. Jesus said it'll be like dividing sheep from goats. Now, if you've been to the Middle East, you will know that sheep and goats look very similar. And they can often be flocks of sheep and goats together, all mixed up together. And Jesus said, God will gather all people together. Sheep and goats, all mixed up together. And then he'll start dividing them. Sheep, goats, sheep, goats. Then he'll say to the sheep, come into my kingdom. Share all the blessings I've got stored up for you. And they'll say, wow, this is good. And then Jesus will say, because you know, when that child came and asked for a cup of water, you gave them the cup of water. And when that naked person came to you, and nobody else would help them, but you clothed them. And that homeless person came and you gave them somewhere to, you gave them shelter. Do you know, every time you did that, it wasn't just a young child you were serving, or a naked person, or a homeless person. It was me. You did it for me. So, come on into the kingdom. And then to the goats, who say, when I asked for a glass of water, you didn't give it me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was homeless, you didn't give me shelter. When? You know, if we'd seen you, Jesus, we would have done it for you. Yeah, but when the child came, you didn't. When the naked person came, you didn't. And just as much you didn't do it for them, you didn't do it for me. Service is the highest calling. Now, in this world, we may not get ahead if we serve. But what really counts is the reality of what will happen. That Jesus will determine what really matters. Service is the highest calling. So following the way of Jesus, making a journey, seeking to live deep with God, understanding what it means to trust God, understanding who we are, and then serving. We have service. And then the second is humility. The second thing is humility. Philippians 2 verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. What does this mean? Simply this, that Jesus deliberately took the unassuming place. Jesus deliberately took the unassuming place. At home, in our dining room, we have a farmhouse table. I think it's about, I don't know, 6 foot by 3 foot, something like that. And we bought it, or I bought it, when we still lived in London, because we knew we were moving to Evesham, and it would never have fitted in our house in London. Believe me, it would have filled, you know, the entire room in London. But we knew we were coming to a house with larger rooms, you see. So I bought this lovely table. And we bought some chairs too. And I think at the time we could only afford like